Philippians 3, verse 20, and I'm going to be reading down through chapter 4, verse 9. And if you are able, let's stand as we hear our Lord speak to us. Beginning with chapter 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who've shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of God. And you may be seated. There was a Bible scholar who died close to 75 years ago. His name was A.W. Pink. He wrote commentaries on different books of the Bible, and he wrote one of his best-known books he wrote entitled The Sovereignty of God. But at one point, as he began a new year, he made this plea to fellow believers, "Oh, to enter the new year with the realization that the one who loved me and gave himself for me accompanies me into it. Then why should I fear what may lay ahead of me? Whatever may be my circumstances, whatever changes I may pass through, whatever I may be called to bear, Christ himself will be my constant companion. But only faith, not imagination or feelings, will be able to realize and appreciate his presence." Good challenge, I think, for us this morning. Well, as I said, I'm going to do my best to give us 23 reasons to rejoice in these next 365 days, 23 reasons to rejoice in 2023. And before I give you these 23 reasons, just a few things. Number one, I actually printed these out and put 10 copies of them out there on the table there in the foyer. I don't think you're probably going to remember all 23 of them by just sitting and listening, and I'm going to talk real fast, so I doubt you note takers are going to capture all of them. So first, that's available to you. I chose these 23 for two reasons. First, I chose what anyone who would read through the book of Philippians could see for themselves and put together. These are all basically going to come. There's a few of them that I step out of Philippians, but by and large, you could make these arguments all from the book of Philippians. Second, perhaps in listing 23 reasons to rejoice, the Lord will be pleased to use at least some of them. to apply to people who are here and who will listen when this is recorded. Folks, we're all in different situations. We're all in different situations. Some of you may be grieving. Some may be anxious and worried. Some may be bitter. Some may be discouraged. And so my prayer is that the Spirit of God will perform his work of conviction and comfort and instruction through my list of 23 reasons. The other thing I'd like to mention, two other things before I give my 23 reasons to rejoice. The meaning of the word rejoice. The meaning of the word rejoice means be glad. Be glad. All right? It comes from a Greek word, kairo, which is closely related to the word charis, which we get our word grace from. For by grace, for by charis, you have been saved. And the word rejoice comes from the word kairo, and they're like kissing cousins in the Greek language. They're connected in their etymology. So, one thing that you might, I trust, will keep in the back of your mind, when you hear the word rejoice, you could say, be glad, I'm to be glad, right? But another way you could think about it is this: Christian, know yourself as graced. Know yourself as favored by the Lord because you are. All right? Know yourself favored by the God of the universe because you are. That's the idea of rejoice, which leads me to the third thing. When Paul says, rejoice in the Lord, again I say rejoice, folks, that was a command to the church at Philippi, to all the saints to whom he wrote. It was a command. It is a duty. It's not an option. So I gently but firmly say, if you are here this morning and say, well, rejoicing just isn't my gift, you don't get a free pass. No, I'm grumpy, right? And curmudgeonly. No, you don't get a free pass. This is a command for all the saints to be people who rejoice. No one in the church got an excuse to not rejoice. And if you've ever read through the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul's the author. Where was he when he wrote this? He was in prison, right? And you know what he's saying about his attitude, his demeanor? Is he bitter, angry, vindictive? He's rejoicing in his circumstances, right? So the implication is Paul, there's this underlying subtext that basically Paul is saying, listen, if I'm in prison and I can rejoice, you who are in your lazy boy at home in Philippi, you can rejoice. That's the idea here. All right? So that's the intro. Here we go. You ready? 23 reasons to rejoice in 2023. Number one, rejoice, be glad, because God is good. He is the essence of good, the definer of good, the judge of what is good, the giver of all that is good. And because he is good, he will not change in being the essence of good, the definer of good, the judge of good, the giver of what is good in 2023. His goodness has no expiration date. Rejoice. God is good. Number two, rejoice, be glad, because God is great. God is great, and he has been great in his mercy and love for you. Psalm 96, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be reverenced. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are just idols. But the Lord, he made the heavens. He is great. Wouldn't it be a horrible thing that in his omnipotence, his being all-powerful, his being all-knowing, wouldn't it be a horrific thing if he was not good? But he is good and he is great. And in his greatness, it is his great mercy and his great love that has made you his children and by which he can call you his saints, his holy ones in Christ Jesus. Number three, rejoice, be glad, because God will complete in you what he began with your conversion. Philippians 1:6. Rejoice, because God will complete in you what he began with your conversion. Number four, rejoice in 2023, because God in his love for you will challenge and help you grow in God-honoring love for others. In 2023, you are going to be challenged to grow in your love for others. It's going to happen, folks. Right? It's going to happen. Philippians 1, 9 through 11, Paul says, "This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." I think if we would be honest with ourselves this morning, none of us could say, "I have reached the plateau. I just can't love anyone any better. I'm just the epitome of love." None of us can do that, right? Last night I was reading these things through to Dawn. By the way, Dawn is flying out about right now on a plane. She's flying out of Denver to go back to Indiana and spend a few days with our grandson, Milo, and our daughter and son-in-law as well. But last night I was reading these to her and trying to get her input on them, and we wept together. In conviction, we have not obtained it already, as Paul says later in Philippians 3 about himself. Not that I've obtained a status of perfection. I keep pressing on, right? But we can rejoice that after 42 years of marriage, God has grown us up to some degree. Rejoice because God in his love for you will challenge and help you grow in God-honoring love for others in this coming year. Number five, rejoice because you have others striving with you for the faith of the gospel. Chapter 1, verse 27. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together. It's kind of that soldiering together next to each other. It's that idea. Folks, right now, if we look at each other, we'd have to say we're a bunch of feeble saints, right? But guess what? We're here together. I got encouraged. Some of you talked to me as you were walking in. Some of you, I talked to you. Some of you came to me with some ideas this morning. Why? Because you are striving in the gospel. This is what we do. Be encouraged, rejoice, because you do have others striving together with you for the faith in the gospel. Number six, rejoice because it's not just us four and no more. Have you ever heard that phrase? It's just us four and no more. Folks, I have to admit, I can get edgy and unnecessarily like a silo in my understanding of what's going around in the world around me. And guess what? I can think it's, I know four people who are really, really believers and no more. Do you know what's going on in Poland right now? Do you know what's going on in Sweden right now? Do you know what's going on in Kenya right now? Do you know what's going on in tribal groups in the Amazonian River Basin right now? Do you know? The same thing we're doing right now. Groups of believers are gathering together to pray together, to sing together, to be reminded of eternal realities together. It's not just us four and no more. Rejoice. Rejoice. Number seven, rejoice because enduring in faith amidst opposition to Christ will confirm your salvation. It doesn't make you saved. It doesn't keep you saved. But continuing to desire to live a life in faith in Christ Jesus and obedience to him and being a part of his body of people in a local church confirms your salvation. Verses 28 through 30. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. In verse 28, he says, you don't have to be alarmed by your opponents. If you're not alarmed by your opponents, it's a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you. Your enduring in faith amidst opposition to Christ will confirm your salvation. Number eight, rejoice because it has been granted you to not only believe savingly in Christ, but also to suffer for his sake. There will be a proving in our life if our faith is genuine. You can't get around it. It has been granted to you to not only believe in Christ, but it has been granted to you to suffer for his name, taking a stand. No, kids, I can't agree with that. Or no, mom and dad, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to do that. It would be sin. No, that's a false doctrine, neighbor. There will be tension and conflict in your life, but it's a gift to you by which you will be enabled to confirm your own faith. Number nine, rejoice because with Christ and his people, there is always an opportunity to be united in love. Rejoice because with Christ and his people, there is always an opportunity to be united in love. Here, this is from chapter 2, the first five verses. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Rejoice because with Christ and his people, there will always be an opportunity to be united in love. A real, real practical, down-to-earth sense of how this applies, and some of you may be chewing on those words and maybe registering in your mind to go back and look at these texts later today or this coming week. Dear people, you and I will always have the opportunity every Sunday morning, not just Sunday morning, you and I will always have the opportunity every Sunday morning to look around and see who's here and who isn't and encourage them. You and I will always have that opportunity. Number 10, rejoice because the knowledge of Christ will always confront our sinful bent toward arrogance and self-centeredness. It is not natural for you, for me, to look around and say, who could I might be an encouragement to in Christ? It's not natural. It's natural to go, I came in here, I've got my needs, that silo. And by the way, our culture in many ways encourages that, the high individual view. Dear people, the knowledge of who Christ is and his humbling himself to the point of death, even death on a cross, will always confront our sinful bent toward arrogance and self-centeredness. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Rejoice, because the knowledge of Christ will always confront our sinful bent toward arrogance and self-centeredness. Number 11, rejoice because the Christ who has saved us and humbles us now is the highly exalted one to whom all will one day bow. God has been gracious to us to cause us to humble ourselves before Christ. But folks, there are masses of people out there who remain stony-hearted and indifferent to Christ. But Scripture tells us what? One day at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And however that all works out, I take that to mean that at some conclusive point, every person who has ever been on the face of this planet is going to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. Some of them will be doing with great, great joy that is infinite and eternal. Some will be gnashing their teeth and weeping for all eternity. But they will acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. And both of those scenarios will bring glory to God the Father. Rejoice, you've been humbled now. Number 12, rejoice because all that Jesus Christ has done, is doing, and will do only brings glory to God the Father. Rejoice because all that Jesus Christ has done, is doing, and will do only brings glory to God the Father. We see that here in chapter 2, verse 11. Every other servant of the Most High has had to be corrected. Moses had to be corrected. King David had to be corrected. Right? Every person, every pastor, everyone you think, oh, what a great minister, what a great evangelist, your people, every one of them had to confess their sins. And their ministry has had to be corrected at some point. Paul says in 1 Corinthians that there's going to be some type of a weighing and evaluation of what is of precious value and what is wood, hay, and stubble. Right? So there can be lots and lots of what appears to be earthly success by ministers and ministries in this world. When everything is said and done, it's all going to get measured and evaluated according to a perfect standard. Dear people, Christ's ministry never gets corrected by God the Father. And you are being ministered by and to that one. That one. So rejoice, because all that Christ has done, is doing, and will do only brings glory to God the Father. The result of that, in Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul speaks about Christ having a bride, and she is clothed in righteous adornment. Jude 24 and 25, he who is able to what? Present you faultless and blameless and with great joy before God. That's how good Christ's work is in you and for you. No one else can do that. Number 13, rejoice because the efforts you are making to live a life that reverently honors God is evidence of his work in you. This is those wonderful verses, verses 12 and 13 of chapter 2. So then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. So Paul, he's like a parent who knows kids. Parent leaves for a half a day, gives his children chores to do, and the kids loaf around until they see mom driving into the driveway, and all of a sudden they get busy. We've never had that problem with any children in our presence, but you've heard of those kids, right? That's not what Paul says about this church family. You've always obeyed, not only in my presence only, but even in my absence. You've been faithful in your obedience. And he says, because of that, and in light of that, continue, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. It's a strange way of saying things, but the result of this is the implication of this is what I just read. The efforts you are making to live a life that reverently honors God is evidence of his work in you. 14, rejoice because that work of God in you erases any sinful notion of murmuring and disputing. Rejoice because that work of God in you erases any sinful notion of murmuring and disputing. Look at verse 14, this is chapter 2. Do all things without grumbling or murmuring or disputing. The idea here, in light of both the book of Philippians and in light of all of Scripture, Christian, one of the things that we learn, we have to learn it, we have to be taught it, and then we have to remind ourselves of it, is that God really is sovereign. He reigns and he rules over everything in the created realm. In fact, everything has been created for his purpose. But there's another word that we need to put into our vocabulary, and we get it, but we have to be reminded of it so we are not murmurers and disputers, okay? And that is the idea of God's providence. So he reigns and he rules over everything in the created realm. But there is also this reality and truth revealed in Scripture of his providence. And here what we mean by this is his timely preparation and protection of his children to fulfill all his promises to them. Let me give you an illustration of this. This actually comes from one of my sisters who's had some significant heartaches in her life, but she is a Bible reader, godly woman. But she has said, you know what? It's very easy for me to remind other people of the sovereignty of God. But then when I'm confronted with a heartache, when I'm confronted with a disruption in my life, to do what? Murmur and dispute. God, how come? Right? God, wait a minute. It's always the application and the implication. God is sovereign. Amen, preacher, preach it. And let's hope the guy next to me is really listening this morning, right? But we must incorporate into our understanding of God's sovereignty his providence in our life. He moves all things in our own lives for his purposes. All things. And the result is that when we start to get a sense of that, that he is good, that he is great, that he is sovereign, and that he is moving my life for his perfect purposes that are only for my good. In that understanding, woe is me if I tell him he's doing something wrong. Be very careful. You will hear some people say, it's okay to be angry with God. I'm not going to tell you that. It's one thing to pour out your heart before him and, God, I don't understand this. That's one thing. That's one thing. It's one thing to pour out your heart and say, God, those people wronged me. That's one thing. It's another thing to say, God, you got this wrong. You owe me an apology. You are on thin ice in my understanding of the Bible. Rejoice because that work of God in your life erases any sinful notion of murmuring and disputing. Number 15, rejoice because your growth in resting in God's sovereignty and providence will shine forth as light in this crooked and perverse generation. Some of you are such an encouragement to the rest of us around us because amidst your heartaches, amidst your hardships, amidst being wronged by other people, you never have a whisper or a hint of disputing and grumbling against God. You shine forth. Think of Johnny Erickson Tada, who at 19 dove into some water. She's paralyzed basically from the chest down. Now she's 70 years old. She has blessed millions and millions of people these past 60 years because she has taken herself in her debilitated state that she will never get out of. And she sings. She writes books. She emails encouragement to other invalids and paraplegics and quadriplegics. She has started camps. You don't hear her murmuring and disputing. How could you do this? I was going to be a star athlete and you took that away from me. You don't hear that. In fact, you will hear Johnny Erickson Tada say, one of the first things that I do when I get to heaven is I'm going to lay my wheelchair down at the feet of my Lord and say, thank you, Lord, I needed that. If you can get some sense of that, if we can get some sense of God's great mercy, and we steel ourselves against embitteredness, we don't murmur, we don't dispute God. Dear people, that shines forth amidst a crooked and perverse generation. Number 16, rejoice because faith in Christ will keep you aware of those who distort the gospel. Faith in Christ will keep you aware of those who distort the gospel. Over in chapter 3, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. There it is again. to write the same things again is to no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Paul was dealing with what was then known as the Judaizers, those who were Jewish people who professed Jesus was the Messiah, and they were coming to Gentiles and saying, you also have to be circumcised. You have to add to the work of Christ in order to be saved. Faith in Christ, according to his word, will give you the wisdom to make you aware of those who distort the gospel. Number 17, rejoice because God will give us godly people to learn from and follow their example. Verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. God gives us his inspired word of example, the Apostle Paul, to follow his example. God has raised up saints over the history of the last 2,000 years to read their biographies. God gives us godly people around us now that we can learn from and follow their example. Rejoice. He'll give you godly people to help you. Number 18, rejoice because enemies of the cross do not go unnoticed. You see that in verses 18 and 19 of chapter 3. Many walk, whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ, but their end is destruction. Here are probably some examples, or Paul is probably referencing people who have become what we would call apostate. They at one time appeared to be true believers, but over time it became clear that they were denying the deity of Christ, or that in their moral life they were proving that they were not true believers, and now they were advocating their apostasy, advocating their immorality. And Paul says that does not go unnoticed. They may get away with it for a season here in this life, but their end is destruction. What number am I on, folks? Number 19, rejoice because a resurrected, glorified Savior means a glorious resurrection salvation for us. What happens to Christ happens to us. That's the point. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. This is what we get. We get a glorified state, physical, material state. Christian, remind yourself in 2023 that simple truth. Christians are resurrection people. Christians are resurrection people. Our bodies are going to go to the ground unless Christ comes first. But even if he does come first, best as I understand Scripture, at the sound of his voice, all of his people get a new body. We're resurrection people. We're not bubbled people, for lack of a better term. If you really, 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 really have faith, you'll never get cancer, never get dementia, never get arthritis, never have any economic problems if you really have faith. And you can just float in this bubble of a nirvana here in this life. In this world, Jesus said, you will have tribulation. We're resurrection people. Number 20. Rejoice because standing firm in the Lord confirms one's name is in the book of life. Faithfully standing on the truths that do not change. Desiring to walk obediently with your God before your Lord confirms your name is in the book of life. That's the first three verses of chapter 4. Number 21, rejoice because anxiety about your future has never once proven God to be wrong. Rejoice because anxiety about one's future has never once proven out that God is wrong. Someone has pointed out that bitterness is typically you're angry and upset with God about something that has happened in your past. So bitterness has to do with the past. What's anxiety and worry have to do with? The future. You're anxious about something happening or something not happening. It's not even proven out, but you're worried, you're concerned, you're looking and trying to look into the future and anticipate. Bitterness has to do with the past. Anxiety and worry has to do with the future. I would love to be able to stand up here and tell you, I don't have this problem. Talk to my wife. Rejoice because anxiety about our future has never once proven God to be wrong. Half the things we worry about, 90% of the things we worry about, what? They're imagined. They're imagined. Doesn't mean we don't plan. But there is a sinful attitude that we can have in considering the future. And dear people, many of you have memorized these precious, precious words. Be anxious for nothing. Remember, Paul is in prison when he writes this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God, I don't understand how this is all going to work out. This is what I would desire to see. This is my request. But you're the sovereign one. You're the one of providence. You're the God of providence. I'll trust you, whatever comes. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I think that guarding there is the idea of it, that mindset of the sovereignty and providence of God keeps you from disputing and murmuring. When you pray with thanksgiving, keeps you, it guards your heart and mind from sin. I think that's what's going on there. Number 22, rejoice because though we are so limited in our comprehension of how God is working out all things for our eternal good, the knowledge of who God is and the resurrection and ascension of Jesus brings peace and guards us from unbelief. The peace of God which passes all our comprehension. No, I know that God is for me because He proved that the most atrocious, sinful thing someone could do to an innocent man by delivering him upon the cross, God used that to pay for my sin. And the reason I know that that's what was going on at the cross was on the third day, God raised him from the dead. We always go back to the gospel. We always go back to that historic truth, that historic event. Wait a minute. God has proved that all my sin have been nailed to the cross because he raised his son from the dead. So rejoice, because though we are so limited in our comprehension of how he is working out all things for our eternal good, the knowledge of who God is and the resurrection and ascension of Jesus brings peace and guards us from unbelief. Number 23, the one you were waiting for. Rejoice, because joyful generosity and faithful interest in the spread of the gospel confirms you really do believe God is good and God is great. Where do I get that? It's another favorite verse of many, many Christians. But I'll start with verse 18 of chapter 4. So this group of believers in Philippi had supported Paul financially for a long period of time. In fact, they've sent Epaphroditus to get some type of gift to Paul while he's in prison, and Epaphroditus has basically risked his life. Epaphroditus gets super sick, and Paul just commends these people for they make that effort. They send one of their own to get this financial gift to him, and so he's so grateful for it. But he says, I have received everything in full, verse 18, and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent. Here's how he describes it. A fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And verse 19, and my God will supply what? All your needs, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Paul can say that to them because they have been demonstrating their confidence. God will supply our needs. We need to support Paul. Whatever comes, we need to remain. This is the gospel we're talking about. And that is their attitude. And so they have supported Paul, and they've done so generously, they've done so sacrificially, and they've done so joyfully. Rejoice. If you have given faithfully and generously to the Heart Cry Missionary Society offering, if you've given faithfully to this church's ministry, if you may have other ministries that you support financially or may be personally involved in, dear people, your interest in the spread of the gospel confirms God will supply all my needs. I can give this. I can do this. God will supply all my needs. That's how that works. It doesn't make him supply your needs. It confirms you believe it. And by the way, it's needs. We Americans tend to interpret that according to 21st century middle to high income economic status. No, that's not what he's talking about. He'll meet all your needs. He'll meet all your needs. Let's bow in prayer. Father, every one of these is a mouthful. Every one of these brings its own conviction, at least it does in my own heart and mind, but it also brings comfort. My guess is that for many of us in this room this morning, we can grab on to some of these and go, oh God, that's evident in my life. And there are some of these that we'll have to say, oh God, forgive me. And there will be some things that we'll have to say, I'll have to think that through. But oh Lord, how sweet it is, how comforting, how solid it is that you are good and you are great and you have been merciful to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you as we begin this new year. In Jesus' name, amen.